So what we're going to do in this class is we're going to talk about meditation and relationship. What the usefulness of meditation is when it comes to relationship, what problems we tend to have in relationships with other people, how meditation can help, why it will help, and what the connection is between meditation, relationship, and changing culture. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to deal with the specifics and how this is really can really work to help you with specifics, but we're going to deal with that in the context of changing culture and why that's important and why that's particularly useful now when we see a lot of global issues and large issues that have to do with conflict and a lack of relatedness and ability to be in a positive relationship one with another. So that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to sit for 15 minutes and really just let go. A couple people told me they were looking forward to meditating today, even though you didn't have any advance warning. A few people said it's a stressful, busy week. It's the holidays. And there's always just a lot going on. So let's take advantage of the time. And if you don't want to meditate, just be still. So we'll let the bell take us in and then the bell take us out. And I probably won't give you any guidance during it. We'll just see what happens. Sorry. Great. That was a good one. All right. Any questions? Okay. So, I know where I want to start. I guess, first of all, meditation is, it's a solitary act, and yet we do it together. And it helps kind of us feel more space and understand what's going on. But the real purpose for it is so we can get along better. And so you can feel that from before meditation to after meditation, it creates a conducive space to be together. There's kind of less friction. There's more room. There's just more ease, and there's more goodwill. So what are the, I thought we'd start with what are the problems that you have most in relationships? What are the things that you find you can't, you don't know how to deal with? Did you have something you were thinking of? Yeah, relationships with your mother, with your father, with your teachers, with other people, not boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boy, whatever. Yes.
Some people, they get too comfortable. So, they do, one big thing to irk me, then after that, everything about them irk me. But, I be keeping to myself about it, but
Right, so what happens is a person has all these aspects. They do this one thing. There's a tipping point. You get fed up, and then everything about them is only that thing, and you just don't know how to deal with it.
Sometimes I don't notice.
Right, because there's no... Somehow that one issue is... That one thing they do takes over. Yeah. What else? What were you thinking? Yes. Patience. Yeah. Lack thereof.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When it comes to siblings.
Siblings.
I have zero. I can't deal with them.
Older or younger?
They're younger. Mm-hmm. Twin brothers, and they're annoying as can be. And when I'm helping them with their homework, it's simple math, one plus one, but still. It's hard for them to understand it. In my mind, I'm like, oh my God, it's right there. It's right there. I just told you the answer 2 months ago. I'm not a teacher.
So, lack of patience, lack of tolerance, and lack of understanding of growth and development. Yes, I'll take you. Yeah.
I would say compromise. Y'all both know each other like differences, and y'all work to meet each other halfway, meet each other, meet him like that.
Mm-hmm. Hard to compromise. Hard to find how to meet halfway. Yeah.
Lack of loyalty.
Lack of loyalty. When people aren't loyal, people aren't loyal.
See how to show.
Lack of loyalty.
There's no such thing as loyal people in relationships.
So people either seem disloyal, go back on their word, don't, or the boundaries aren't clear. There's no consistency. There's no respect for, there's no trust. So that's big one. Yeah.
Lack of communication.
Lack of communication. Meaning?
Mm-hmm. Not talking. Instead of talking the problem out, you're just letting it go on and go on until it makes it just goes up in your face.
Right, and you feel bad the whole time you're not talking about it, but you don't deal with it. Fear, so lack of risk-taking, and not sure what the outcome's going to be, and so avoidance. What else? Did you have something?
Lack of love.
Lack of love.
I like people too much, and then I just like feel like they just give it to me halfway.
Okay. Lack of openness, lack of trust, lack of love, lack of, yeah, lack of goodwill, generosity of spirit. Yeah.
I don't have my leg stuff. I mean, just, like, I don't, that's not what I'm going to say. I don't like when people ask me questions, and I don't like when people tell me I'm wrong because no, I'm not.
When people tell you what?
That I'm wrong.
That you're wrong. That you you're not wrong.
Yes, I'm not wrong. So don't tell me that I'm wrong.
Uh-huh. So a lack of ability to deal with criticism, oversensitivity. Yeah, you had one more. Yeah.
I was going to say when you get too used to somebody and everything you do, you forgive them too easily.
You forgive them too easily. Uh-huh, because you know them, so you don't have high standards.
Or you don't have, like, the will to let people go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, dang. What's it doing? Shoot.
You're going to say it after what she said. Yeah. What's that?
Lack of growth.
So either there's a lack of growth in the relationship, in the friendship, it's stifling, or one person seems to be developing more quickly, you grow apart, you don't know how to deal with it, there's discomfort. So, interesting. What? So intolerance, there's intolerance and
no sense for you to act this way. You're more mature. You should understand what's going on. You should know how to act in certain situations. Like, I know kids in kindergarten who act better than you do. That's something.
So there's judgment, intolerance, and appropriate frustration with people who don't show up the best of themselves. So there's an expectation that we're going to give the best of ourselves. When that doesn't happen, there's a lack of tolerance. Yeah.
I feel like a lack of self-worth destroys relationships.
Lack of self-worth destroys relationships. All the way around. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't like people that act childish about certain situations. Like, say we got, like, an issue going on. They being real petty about it. Yeah, I don't like that.
Pettiness. Okay. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, we're talking about relationships with people.
You just said relationships, so I was thinking about relationships with, like, other things, like animals.
Yeah.
Like people with pets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad.
That's a relationship.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, how do you deal with loss? How do you deal with letting go? How do you deal with grief? That's a big part of relationship. What's that? What?
Learning how to deal with change.
Learning how to deal with change. When you change, when they change, when the situation changes. So we got a lot going on. So you can see that it's hard. Relationships are hard. Caring about each other, caring about, you know, our animal friends who we often feel a special connection and communication with, how to let them go, how to deal with grief, how to deal with each other, how to deal with immaturity in ourselves and other people, how to communicate. So these are, you know, we just spent about 6 or 7 minutes, and look how many issues we have on the table. How do you think meditation could help? Yeah.
In the process of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
If you like are in the process of it, but you continue to think about that person, you can use meditation to clear your mind of those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't provoke you to go back to that person.
That's right. That's very good. It's a very good use of meditation. What else?
Mm-hmm.
What else? Yeah.
Like a drug. People say they smoke to release things and stuff like that. So you can meditate on it. I guess it's better than doing it.
Well, the difference between, some people do use meditation as to, you know, it's possible. Usually, there are different forms of meditation that do that more. Chanting meditation and single point of concentration on an object can do that more. But the type of meditation that we're practicing makes us more aware. So, drugs usually they evoke a certain feeling, sensation, and that makes you happy or disassociated and separates you from reality. What we're doing is we're opening up to reality and we're learning how to be with it. So what happens in meditation is you do have that good feeling, and you create space, and it feels like an altered state in some ways. But what it's really doing is it's giving us space to be with what is. So what else? How else can it help? So another way that it helps is it teaches us the impersonality of things. So when you're struggling, when you're just thinking about people, you feel very charged personally. What you like, what you don't like, what you're angry about, how they frustrate you, how you wish things were different, how you wish you were different. When you meditate, you just have to deal with your mind and your restlessness and your sleepiness and your boredom and the repetitive nature of your thoughts. And when that happens, you realize that it's not just your mind, it's everybody's mind. So people have different content of their mind, but everybody has a hard time dealing with their minds. So it creates a sense of compassion. It creates empathy. It creates room for us to see that despite all the differences between us, we're fundamentally working with the same mechanism. And that can be incredibly powerful. So when you experience that, and then you have to deal with some situation that you don't want to talk about, and you don't feel like approaching the person, it feels like you're going to die, and you'd rather avoid it, and they feel the same way, you start to recognize that's how the mind works. That's how emotions work. It's not your problem. They probably feel the same way. And then you take everything a little bit less seriously in a good way so that it doesn't stop you from doing a simple thing that can help things move on. In really challenging situations like loss and grief, you learn to just be with what is. Eventually it'll pass. But it's sad. We're connected. We lose people. We lose, you know, animals we love, and it's lonely and it's hard. That's a natural part of life. And when you can meditate and just allow that to be there, you realize you're not going to be overwhelmed. You'll be okay. You have the strength to just sit through it. It's all right. It's a part of life.
Damian Walker. Please come to the main office. Damian Walker. Please come to the main office.
And eventually it'll pass, yeah.
What about lack of emotional release?
Lack of emotional release. When you feel everything pent up inside you?
Yeah, like,
and you want to explode?
Kind of, but it's like, if you lose somebody that's like really close to you, but then, like, everybody else is freaking out, crying about it, but you're the only one who's calm. And then, like, one little thing happened that reminds you of them, you just kind of burst open.
We all process grief differently, and there are a lot of different mechanisms. There are a lot of different ways. Responding immediately is not necessarily how everyone works. It doesn't mean that something's being repressed, and it doesn't mean that you don't have a natural response. It doesn't mean that you don't care. And then something triggers and you all of a sudden realize, oh my God, there's so much emotion there. But it took time. And meditation can help you create the space so that what's there, you'll get to it. And it'll also allow you to not judge yourself because your patterns are different than other people's. So all this comes from sitting still, watching our minds, understanding the brain, being present. And you can see that it seems like we're doing nothing when we're sitting there, and it seems like it's going nowhere, but you wouldn't have been able to say all how it was useful 10 weeks ago. You were just caught in all of it. You didn't have a sense that there was something that you could do that would give you this kind of perspective on your mind and emotions and on what happens. And what I, to take it one step further, because this is powerful and important, but as you start moving in, you know, out of school and into the broader culture, these things are going to be important, how you handle yourself, but also how you interpret your environment is going to be more and more important. So using meditation to understand cultural change, understanding why there are so many tensions and issues, having space to deal with the frustrating complexity of a lot of the things that are going on in the world right now. Not having answers to things like climate change. Not having answers to things like racism that's institutionalized in this country. These are tough issues. They're not going to go away. They're not going to be simple. People are very charged about them. So to contribute to a sense of real progress in culture, you have to develop yourself to be able to stand and withstand all the tensions and frustrations and confusion and adults acting worse than five-year-olds and authorities not being worthy of respect in positions of authority. There are all kinds of things in the world that just aren't the way they should be. So the responsibility then is on us to develop ourselves to be able to not just engage with it, but to be able to think about it in terms of cultural evolution, in terms of individual development. So then you see, oh, it's hard for me to control my mind. I understand that. Therefore, it's going to be hard to change society. It's hard for me to change how I react. It's going to be hard to change culture. But we can do it. And it feels harder than it actually is once we apply ourselves with a certain kind of perspective. I want to leave some time to meditate. So we have 10 minutes to meditate. Any questions? Yeah.
Is that the only way that it helps with like the relationships and like what it's like to it, like just like being able to separate yourself, like it really like take a minute to like recuperate, regroup, and really understand the situation?
That's one of the main things it does, is it creates space. It also, the more you meditate, it gives rise to love and joy. So you feel happy. And when you feel happy, your relationships change. Because when you're frustrated and tight, you know, you generally see the things that are wrong. And when you're happy, you see something different. Then people also start responding to you differently because they like being around you because you're happy and you don't need something from them. And so that's one of the other ways that it really does help. Great. So before we meditate, I will, next week's our last week. The idea is I'm going to do the same program for the 12th graders next semester in the spring, and maybe you'll be able to sneak in sometimes. And I'm not promising, because I haven't talked to Ms. McKay about it, so I don't know. But the other thing is I want to bring this program to 10 schools next year, because I'd like, you know, most of the magnet schools, the 11th graders, to have this. So next week I'm going to have a questionnaire for what your experience was, what you liked, what you didn't like, and we're going to see if we can get some of the students who do photography for the yearbook, or some of the students who are doing the WHYY video, to maybe take some photos and video next week. So we can create something, and that'll showcase this program and also help take it. Yes?
Is this your first time doing it?
In high school? Well, I've done it in Copenhagen, and I've done it in Guatemala. In high school, there's a group of Guatemalan high school students who they've been doing a 4-year program on meditation, shadow work, cultural development, like we've been doing. And my friends run a nonprofit down there, and they've been teaching them. They're really doing great. I wanted to try to set up a Skype call with you guys and them, but it just didn't work out with the days I was here and the days they were available. So I've done that. Mostly I teach adults, yeah, and college students. But I would like to get this across all the schools in Philly, because I think it'd be good. And nobody's doing this kind of program with cultural development. The mindfulness programs are usually mindfulness, meditation, movement, and some understanding of emotions. But they're not doing it. And because this school focuses on international development and international relations, it's a good environment for it. But it's the context that I work with anyway. Yeah. So these are release forms, so that if we take photos and video, and if they get used, that your parents are okay. So if you're under 18, you have to have your parents sign.
Not everyone has?
No. Okay. I think
there's a coffee machine right there.
Yeah.
So let me make a copy.
Good, we can do it right here.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Oh, wait, how many do we have?
I thought I got it. How many kids are in this class? I think there should be enough.
Okay. If they aren't, we can do it after. So if you don't want your picture used, that's totally fine. Don't bring it back, and we'll be careful about... hopefully we can get some of the students who do video and still photography to do some. So that's what those are for. And I think just this week, before we meditate, pay attention between now and next week, that when there's some kind of friction in your relationships, or something that's hard to deal with, that's emotionally hard to deal with, that makes you angry or makes you sad. Yeah. think about ways that the meditation that you've been doing could help, and see how that works. All right, so let's just sit for the last. We have about 6 minutes. Let yourself really drop into yourself. And create a sense of ease and acceptance of whatever is. Whether it's tension or frustration or sadness or excitement. Experience a sense of space and a sense of support in that space. Have a good week.